Good afternoon. It was a rainy Saturday morning. It looks like it's going to clear off a little bit, probably really nice by tomorrow. I'm sorry if it rained your outdoor plans out this morning, but that won't keep us from talking about them this afternoon. This is Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz, and I am on information overload. There is so much out there to do. I know we will not get through everything I have either scanned into my laptop, printed out beside me, or what I have to talk about, but we'll get through what we can and we'll carry over what we can't. If you want to talk about anything outdoors today, and I encourage you to call in. If you're not comfortable on the air, you can call in, talk to Dave. He can take your name, your question, and he'll give it to me, and I can talk about it on the air. But our numbers are, if you're in the Greenville area, 235-9405. If you're out of the area, the number is 877-235-9405. I forgot to mention last time, I touched on Facebook, but I didn't go into it too much. We do have a Facebook page. It's Woods and Water SC. I have had a lot of problems with people saying, I tried to find you on Facebook, couldn't find you. So I've started sending out a link. And if you just want to go to Facebook and type it in, it's of course www.facebook.com/WoodsAndWaterSC. And it's all letters. There's no symbols. And you can find it there. If you can't get this show on the radio or the 94.5 app, you can find us at tunein.com. And that's tunein, T-U-N-E-I-N.com. Do a search for 94.5 Conservative Talk, Greenville, South Carolina, however you want to do it. And you can find us there. You may also go to the Conservative Talk 94.5.com website, go to station schedule, and if you're having trouble finding us on Facebook, station schedule, scroll down to Saturdays, and the link is there that'll take you directly to the page. Like I said, I was trying to get my thoughts together for today and how to start out, so here we go. I do have two tickets, and I want to get this in early so you can think about it, decide whether you want to go or not. I have two tickets to the Fly Fishing Film Tour that will be in Asheville, North Carolina. And that date is April the 17th, which is a Thursday night. Starts at 5 o'clock. The film starts at 7. If you think you might want to go, if you've never been, then here's an easy way to figure out if it would be interesting. Go to www.flyfishingfilmtour.com/watch-trailers. So you can Google Fly Fishing Film Tour. Watch the trailers. There are some, the videography that these guys use is incredible. There are what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 little trailers you can watch. One of them's called 50. It's about the Gold Cup Invitational Tarpon Fly Tournament. Wow. I have been around a lot of some tarpon when I was down in the Everglades. They're incredible, and just even if you don't think you want to go, this is just good. This is good video to watch. And in the trailer, there's even a couple black and whites of Ted Williams. He was a big fly fisherman. Another trailer is Alaska, a very remote Alaska fly fishing. 320, some guys who fished 320 days out of a 365-day year. A little too hardcore for me, but I enjoy watching people that do that sort of thing. North of Wild, they go to Labrador. Now, most people don't know where Labrador is. Somewhere up near Greenland, Iceland, up that way. Tributaries is another trailer. They fish Bahamas, Iceland, Argentina. Shenandoah Valley trailer, Kinetic Loop, and Long Live the King, a good one about the Alaska king salmon, survivability of the fishery. Go there, look. If you think you might want to go, we will take a call during the first call during the last segment of the show at 234-235-9405 or 877-235-9405 to win those two tickets. First caller gets them, and I'm sorry, you have to come on the air and talk to me for just a second. Dave will get all your information, but those will be given away in the fourth segment today. And I will be there. I actually bought myself a ticket. Normally I got to try to go to the one in Charleston. That's not a good time of the year for me to be going anytime before March 15th. So I missed the Charleston show this year. I'm going to go to the Asheville one. So I'll see you there. And with that out of the way, we'll get back to what I normally try to do every show. And that's calendar events. And wouldn't you know it, I opened the wrong file on my computer. Give me just a second. Here we go. Calendar events for this week. There is a nature and wildlife photography workshop. I take very bad pictures compared to a lot of people that I know. I first of all, I probably don't have the right software to really work with it or make it look better than what it is. This is an opportunity for you to go to Santee State Park. Perry Baker will be there. He's a staff photographer. You're going to have 2 days of hands-on, 3 days of hands-on instruction, two nights accommodations on the, in the cabins, lunches, boat tour. And down on Santee, you're going to see alligators and eagles and fish and just, more than you can take pictures of, I'm sure. The registration deadline is April the 20th. This takes place May the 6th through May the 8th. It does have a cost associated with it. It's $209 per person single occupancy, $129 per person double occupancy. You can find out more details at the Santee State Park website or at South Carolina State Parks. Here's one that I wish I would be able to go to, but I know I can't because I'll be here in the studio. And that's the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off. It'll be taking place in Belton, South Carolina, April the 12th. I love chili. Downtown Belton, of course, the exhibits, crafts, arts, all that will be there. Information booths, home baked goods, canned goods, cookbooks, everything you would find at a little community street function will be there. It's free to get in. If you want to test out the chili, you can get 8 tickets for $5 and 1 ticket gets you 1 sample. Like I said, I wish I could be there. If somebody goes down there, please call in and tell me how good the chili was. There is nothing better than a good chili, a bowl of chili. Happening down in Charleston, April 10th through the 13th, and it seems like April 12th is like a flashpoint for something. There's something going on. There's 4 or 5 things I looked at that are going on that same day. But race week is in Charleston again. Now, this is the sailing race week. Starts on Thursday, April the 10th. Not much racing going on. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you'll have offshore courses, inshore courses. There are lots of good places to watch from, some from the bridge. There's parks around. There's even a boat. If you want to rent a boat, you can message me on Facebook. I have a friend who's got a boat that they rent out for race week. It's just a really neat thing to see. Those guys really know how to handle some sails. At the same time, East Coast Paddle Sports, an outdoor festival, will hold an on-the-water event. Kayakers, canoers, stand-up paddle boarders, archery, disc golf, mountain biking, climbing, adaptive programs tailored to individual disabilities and more. It's taking place there again in Charleston, April the 11th through the 13th, the same time that the race week is going on. I did not see how much it was going to cost. I apologize for that. There is an admission price. But you can find out any details you need at Charleston County Parks and Recreation Commission. They'll have, there's a number of tabs there, admission, accommodations, paddle sports schedules, and sponsors. I had somebody ask me the other day, isn't there a Grits Festival in South Carolina? And yes, there is, on April the 11th through the 13th. It's a happening weekend. The 29th annual World Grits Festival will be held down in St. George. And of course, Quaker Oats Company has announced that they will again be the major sponsor of the World Grits Festival. I like grits, but I enjoy going out to Suber's Mill out here in Greer and asking the lady for a 3-pound bag of grits. And she writes it in black, permanent mark on the outside of the box bag. And when she does, she tells my girl, she goes, "Do you know what grits means?" And they say no, and she said it's girls raised in the South. I hear some music coming up. I'm not done with the calendar of events. We'll get a few more when we come back. Hang on, and we'll see you on the other side. We'll be right back. that was a short break. Welcome back. I wonder if I date myself with my bumper music. I'm a child of the 80s. Actually, I was in the backseat of my brother's car for most of those years. So I'm really a child of the 70s, but I revolted a little bit and moved on to the 80s after he was out of the house and married. Sherall State Park, a moonlight canoe float. Now, this would be really nice. This is, again, a Saturday, April the 12th. That day is just a banner day in April in South Carolina. This year, the time will be 7 o'clock on April the 12th. You will be on Lake Juniper, which is 361 acres. Now, this one is subject to change due to weather and participation. Find out more details at the park office. That's area code 843-537-9656. It's $15 a person. If you have your own canoe or kayak, bring it. If you don't, you can use one of theirs. Age limit is 14 and up with an adult. Items to bring: headlamp, water, bug spray, and a jacket, and a hat. There will be, right here at Sharpshooters Gun Club and Range, on Saturday, April 19th, a hunter education class. When I downloaded this, there were 37 of 45 seats remaining. Every year, there are people that, with kids who would like to take them hunting, and they go all summer long, and they say, oh, I know I need to get a hunter education course for them. And they get to hunting season, and they don't have a hunter education course yet. So this is a great opportunity if you're in the Greenville area. It's 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sharpshooters are right out here on Rutherford Road. And the minimum age is 12. An adult must remain with students under the age of 12. Ryan Bass is the instructor. You can find this information at the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources website. In connection with that, I downloaded hunter education requirements for South Carolina. And they simply state all residents and non-residents born after June 30th, 1979 must complete a hunter education course before a hunting license can be obtained. There are four options. The instructor-led class, which is what they're going to have at Sharpshooters. It's an eight-hour. It's free. It's an eight-hour class. This one will be one day. They do split them up over two nights depending on where you're going to go and during the week or on weekends. There's an online self-study class. It costs $15, really, for the exam and all. You can go to the Department of Natural Resources and find that self-study course. There's a CD self-study course that you can find at the department. And, of course, I didn't scan in the last page, so I couldn't tell you what I couldn't tell you what the fourth option is. I apologize for that. That's my mistake. And that's just some of the things going on. There are so many things. I had to weed through and pick out what I thought would be most interesting and kind of spread across the state. So feel free to do your own searches and find something to do that will get you outside. Wednesday, March 26th, from the Outdoor Wire, which is an outdoor industry's newsletter that is free subscription, it was announced that the Secretary of Interior, Sally Jewell, is distributing nearly $1.1 billion in excess tax revenue paid for by sportsmen and sportswomen. Many people don't know what Pittman-Robertson is. Even if you did, you've probably forgotten a lot about it. But essentially what it is anybody that buys a gun, buys a bow, buys arrows, and these days fishing tackle, there's a separate mirror project to Pittman Robertson for that. We pay an 11% surcharge. Now that's paid at the industry, at the manufacturer's level, the importer's level. We don't pay it when we go to the store. There's not a separate 11% tax that shows up on our receipt, but it's built into the cost of the product we buy. And that goes to the federal government. It's held in a trust fund. And once a year they distribute that money to the states based on, from what Department of Natural Resources tells me, it's loosely based on the number of licenses that are sold in the state. And then they go into something kind of like the IRS tax code to get the rest. And I don't even want to try to figure that one out. But we got South Carolina combined. Now, this is Pittman Robertson and Dingell Johnson, which is the Mirror Sport Fish Restoration Act. We got $14,857,369. that's a lot of money. I was talking to Brett Witt at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic yesterday, and he said essentially without that money, Department of Natural Resources probably wouldn't be able to do anything that they do. They would just be a skeleton organization. Loosely, that's about how much they get in appropriations every year from the legislature. So that's a lot of money, but that is money that not many people know comes back to the states. Sportsmen, loosely, the hunting and fishing community pays all that money, but the benefit is to anybody that goes outside. A lot of this money goes to buy property. These days it was originally intended to restore a lot of the wildlife, and it still does that to this day. But not just the wildlife that hunters like to go after or the fishermen like to go after. It benefits everything. I've got a lot more to say about that later on in the show. A lot of history background on that. But right now, I really want to go to the Palomino Sportsman's Classic because that is going on right now. I was there most of the day yesterday. I'll see it's raining again outside. And that was what it was doing yesterday. It was raining outside. I was walking around with my camera and the umbrella hoping my camera wasn't going to get wet. It's going on today and tomorrow, and I'd like to cover a little bit of it today so you know what you can go see tomorrow, because tomorrow in Columbia, it's supposed to be somewhere around 70, 72 degrees and a little breezy, but still a very nice day if you want to ride down to Columbia to the state fairgrounds. If you're coming from the south, you come up 26 to 77, get off on 77, hooking around the bottom side of Columbia. When you get to Bluff Road, you can drive right in Bluff Road, right to the gate on the right. If you're coming from Greenville, down 26, take the 126 into Columbia, Assembly Street, and Assembly Street goes right by the fairgrounds to the right. You're right under the shadow of Williams-Brice Stadium. That's going on tomorrow. Like I said, we rained yesterday. They were going to have thunderstorms again today. Tomorrow was supposed to be real nice. So if you're looking for something to do tomorrow because you got rained out today, it's a great place to do. It's $8 to get in the door, but there is so much there to see and do. Kid friendly. There's food for the adults. It's just a great way to spend the day with the family. Yesterday, and it ended yesterday, was the National Archery and School Program State Tournament. Now, I did not know anything about archery in schools until Christmas when my niece, afternoon Bethany, thank you for getting me involved, was at Christmas and they were talking about these bows they were getting because they were shooting archery. And I was, wait a minute, what did I miss? And so they took me to one of their little regional meets. It was held out here, off Taylor Road. And, it was great. You had teenagers, middle school and teenagers. They were very, very, they had been taught very well how to handle those bows, how to shoot those bows. Pretty much everything was based on a whistle. The number of times the whistle blew was an instruction to do something different. And that group is the Upstate Hurricanes Archery Club. Their group was only formed last November. So this club has been in existence less than a year. It is led by two great people, Patrick and Colleen Pusateri. They had been involved in another group in Spartanburg when they moved to Greenville. They didn't have one here, and they took it among themselves to start it. I don't know how many kids they have in the Canes Archery Club, but there were maybe 50 kids, maybe more. I think they had 120 interested in it when they first started it up. But they took this group of kids to Columbia, and they shot. I was there Friday morning to watch the shoot, and then I watched another segment shoot and was there at the award ceremony. Now, get this. There are 23,000 kids in South Carolina involved in the National Archery Shoot Program. It includes groups from public schools, private schools, and homeschool groups. Now, the Canes is a homeschool group. Over the 2 days in Columbia, there were close to 1,200 kids who shot at the state level for that championship. And I was talking to Captain McCullough yesterday with the DNR, and he said, you know, when you figure in 1,200 kids, coaches, parents, other spectators had run through, you probably had around 4,000 people who watched this competition over the 2 days. That's a lot of people. I know the building we were in, I think we were in the Hampton building there at the fairgrounds, it was packed. There was not an empty seat on the stadium bleachers. There were people standing where they could. You can't stand up against the shooting line, but there were people standing. It was great. It was really neat to see these kids participating. Some of them will probably only shoot paper targets their entire life, and then they'll go on. But some of them may be the outdoors type. They may pick up archery hunting. We never know. But our as parents, and next year I'll be there because my daughter wants, so she's all into it now. So she will be with this group next year, and I'll be at those shoots and practices and all that. But it's about parents getting their kids involved in this sort of thing. So we've got a program that's been in existence for about 5 or 6 months now. Went to Columbia. They shot, like I said, against 1,200 other kids, and they did very, very well. They took overall third place in the whole tournament. There were two other teams. Mid-Carolina from Newberry took first place. Upstate Mavericks, which is another homeschool group, took second place, and Upstate came in third. I got an email right before I came on the air from Colleen, and she said they have qualified. It's a tier system, so I don't know how that works yet. She said they have qualified to go to Nationals, and that'll be in Louisville, Kentucky, May 9th and 10th. So stay tuned. They'll find out sometime in the middle of April. I'm going to do a lot more on NASP on another program because this is a great opportunity for kids to be involved in. They took third overall. Damian Edwards won second place high school boys with a score of 284 and was fourth place in overall standings in the high school boys with a 926 score. Now, let me tell you what. I walked back into the Hampton building when they said they were supposed to be there for the award ceremony, and Damian and another boy were involved in a shoot-off. They had tie scores through the whole match. So I got there right as they were shooting a five-shot warm-up round. And like I said, it was, of course, all the archers were there watching it. It was better than an NCAA game almost. And after the NCAA goes unionized, this will be better than watching college basketball, I can promise you. But anyway, Damon, they did five shot practice, and then each of them shot five arrows at the target. The judge went down and judged it. They tied on the total of five shots. So they went to a single arrow shoot-off. Each one of them only had one arrow to win the whole thing. Well, actually second or third place. And Damian won. Hats off to him. Also, the hats off to Christiana Pusateri, Patrick and Colleen's daughter. She won first overall place in high school boys and girls, first place high school girls, and first place overall girls. So congratulations to her and Damian. Congratulations to the whole archery, the Canes archery program. This program is one of those that benefits from Pittman Robertson. DNR buys 20 to 30 kits each year to start a new club. The package includes 10 right-hand bows, 2 left-hand bows, 5 targets, and a safety net. So the archer, people who are go hunting with their bows, all that, they're paying taxes to support this National Archery and School Program. It started out in Kentucky. And it didn't take them a year until it went national. One of our clients, one of my sponsors, Jeffrey Archery, is a sponsor of this show. He was the referee for the whole match. And it was fun to watch him when the kids, because there's one kid scoring and one kid writing it down. When they'd have a problem, you'd see a hand go up and Tom Jeffrey would run over, or one of the DNR agents would go over and help them decide what score it was. Just a great thing to be involved in. It's over for this year. Parents, if you're interested, stay tuned. We'll have a lot more, or you can go to the National Archery and School website and get your information from there. We'll see you on the other side. Back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, here on 94.5 WGTK. Numbers, if you want to call in, are 235-9405 and out of the area, 877-235-9405. I want to get back to the Pine Winter Sportsman's Classic. This is the 30th year. It's held at the state fairgrounds there in Columbia. And what I want to do is I took a lot of pictures yesterday, and I'm just going to scroll through the pictures here. Uh-oh, if I can get it to work. There we go. There we go. Oh, the screen is working right. 30th annual Powell Motor Sportsman's Classic. Of course, there's just a myriad of things to do. I know yesterday, Troy Landry was not there. He's the kind of the big moniker this year, from the Alligator TV show. He was not there yesterday. Friday, he was there today, and he'll be there again tomorrow. I wish he would have been there. I'm not much for following, you know, the paparazzi type, but he just looks like one of those guys. And having duck hunted a lot in Louisiana, I like those people down there, and I would like to have met him, but maybe next year if he comes back, or maybe I can catch up with him somewhere else. So that's a big pull for tomorrow. If your kids like that show, or if you like that show, Troy Landry will be there signing autographs. I think he's there from 1 to 5, 1 to 4. Really nice. Bawana Jim, he's kind of like a spinoff of the old Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom type. He was doing his thing yesterday. I got a couple pictures of him, but he's a kind of a animal rescue guy for the outdoor creatures and all. He had a great horned owl there with the left wing damaged, sitting up on a perch. He had a hawk with wing damage, and it's Bawana Jim's wildlife show. Looked pretty nice, pretty neat. Had another barn owl there on display. Food, the little vendors that you see, and I even ran across one that had jumbo smoked turkey legs. Although I didn't make it back to get one before I left. I didn't leave till about 7 o'clock last night, but I didn't make it back over there to get one, and I really, really wanted one. If anybody goes tomorrow, I'll pay you to pick one up for me. Of course, it's the Park Natural Resources. It's their show. One of the best slogans. There were two really good slogans out there, and that's life's better in the outdoors. That's the Department of Natural Resources. And they have that written all over their take one, make one trailer, which is open. Kids can get in there. You have the, freshwater fisheries catch and release catfish pond. It's free to kids. There are volunteers there along with wildlife people that will, you know, take the catfish off the hook. Parents, you don't have to get your hands slimy. They'll do that for you. They'll bait your hook for you and all. It's just an opportunity to get the kids something to do to draw them down there, have some fun. And they were having fun, even the rain. It's funny. I was out there, like I said, with my umbrella and all. And the kids, they could have cared less. They're out there. Hair was wet. They were catching these fish and just having a ball. There's a little instructional thing there. So if you've never taken your kid fishing before, there's an instructor there that will teach you and your child exactly what to do. So don't worry about that if you've never done that before. These wildlife people are there. They want to talk about what they do because you support them. They try to manage wildlife fisheries enforcement all to benefit us. And it was funny, everywhere you went, the kids were just kind of migrating, these guys with the guns and the green uniforms. Really neat to see. Take one, make one, youth hunts, law enforcement, joint enforcement agreements with other agencies that had the retriever demonstrations. How do you know a Labrador retriever is happy? It's when he's wet. And the lab he had out there yesterday just was really enjoying himself in the rain. He did a few dummy retrieves. They didn't have a whole lot of yard to work with, but that lab was well trained. I wish mine was halfway trained like that, but that lab would sit there and he would have his paws crossed. Now, every lab I've ever had, when they lay down, their front legs are just kind of out straight and they'll put their head down between them and that sort of thing. This lab actually crossed his paws while he was laying on the grass, and it struck me as really odd. I'd never seen that before. Lots of good organizations there. South Carolina Quality Deer Management, Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, Rocky Mountain Elk Federation. You get information, join these organizations, support them in their efforts if you feel like it. Puppies. Oh, there were some beautiful puppies for a dollar ticket or $5 ticket. And lots of dogs. If your kids like dogs, there were labs two or three in every building, and they just love for you to pet them. Everyone I saw was just laying over on his side, and the kids were scratching their ears or that sort of thing. Kids and dogs, they just love each other. If you need a new turkey call, duck call, there are plenty of handmade calls there for you to buy, to look at. Delta Waterfowl had their hen nesting structures there you could look at, and free food. Oh, the appetizers you could have gotten down there yesterday. One of the biggest ones is out of Van Wack, South Carolina. I remember when they were just a real small operation, but they had a really big booth. They do a lot of different, you know, venison sausage rolls with cheese and jalapeno and all, and they had lots of samples out there. It was so good. I went back around there a couple of times. I hope they still didn't recognize who I was. Lots of clothes, camouflage, hunts, if you want to buy a hunt. Buy seed. It's amazing how many local South Carolina places have their own milling companies. Orangeburg Milling Company, Honda four-wheelers, made in South Carolina. I saw that tag hanging off one of them. Wanamaker Wildlife Center had their seed out there for sale. Lots of clothes. Camps. Parents, if you're looking for your kids a place to go to camp this year, you need to go down here, or you need to contact. Clemson University has 5 different camps, I believe. It's www.ylicamps.com. So YLI Camps. And their camps, they have one in Summerton, which is a 4-H summer camp. Camp Hannon Adventures in Sunset. Camp Wildlife in Summerton, Camp Seaweed down in Allwandaw, Camp Voyager in Pickens. And these are all, I would like to go to one of these. But anyway, that was through Clemson. You know, they're a land-grant college, so they do this sort of thing. He also had Camp Wildwood, which is the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources camp. They were there. Dan Dupree runs that. He will be on the show with me. He and one of his counselors are going to come up one day and talk about Camp Wildwood. It's a progressive camp. It's 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. First year program is held at Kings Mountain State Park. I guess that's where they go for all of them. The second one, you are there, but you travel to Clemson and you stay at Twin Lakes. That's your second year. And then the third year, you actually go down to Donley Wildlife Management Area down the Ace Basin, that area, and you canoe the Edisto and all. It's a really, both of these organizations are going to be on the air with me here at some point soon, because I know for the Clemson camps, their early bird registration is by the 1st of April, and there's a $40 discount. Some of these camps are $400 or $500, and that may come into play if you want that early bird. You might want to get on those websites and look before I can have them on the air. Also, it was kind of interesting. I was there and around at the corner, and there's the Clemson Bass Fishing Club. And I said, aha, I want to talk to those guys. So I talked to them for a few minutes. They asked me to talk about their spring fundraiser. It's April the 12th on Lake Hartwell Twin Bridges Ramp. If you want to fish this tournament, it's a $130 entry fee. The registration is due the Friday night before the tournament on the 12th. There again, April 12th is just a busy day around here. But they are going to have a dinner from 6 to 9 at University Inn. The fish fry is free to registered anglers. If you just want to go and eat with the guys, it's $10. All the profits from the extra plates goes to their fishing club, and some of the money helps them from the payout. They have a $2,000 payout for first place. The rest of the money goes to help them. And just one table down were the guys from South Carolina. Theirs, luckily, is going to be the 26th. They actually didn't have their flyer for me. Theirs is going to be the 26th on Lake Wiley, sponsored by Hunt Fish Paddle. Theirs is a $120 entry fee, a 90% payout, and the club keeps 10%. And both of these are great, great things to support. That money they raise goes and helps them buy gas, tackle, lodging, food, so they can go to these tournaments. Just some really neat guys. I'm going to try to go ride with them. Which I think would be really fun. It's been a long time since I've been on the back of a bass boat. But they'll be on the show with me along with the others later on the spring. American Fly Fishing Schools had their place set up. They had some kayaks out in a pond a pond. Okay, it was a plastic tarp, pretty big plastic tarp with a form around it where you could test out some different things. They should be good to go tomorrow. Lots of food, lots of dogs for the kids, hands-on in the DNR building. Kids can color, cut out. They had live horseshoe crabs you could touch. The South Carolina Trappers Association was there with a lot of mounted small animals, fur bears, beavers, that sort of thing. A lot of pelts kids can handle. Those guys are a wealth of information. Toys, if you want to look at a new boat, new four-wheeler, new tractor, lots of that out there too. Like I said, you want to, oh, Daisy air rifles had a blow up there. Kids were just lined up for that one. If you want a good thing to do tomorrow, grab the family, go to Columbia, enjoy the day, support Department of Natural Resources. Break's here. I'll see you on the other side, and the tickets go up for grabs next time around.
Conservative Talk, 94.5.
You may know that many homes in our area experience foundation problems. Here's Alan Gand and Edwin Moore of Mount Valley Foundation Services.
Foundation settlement is a common problem simply because of the type of soils in our area. When you do have a problem, you need to call Mount Valley Foundation Services.
With over 27 years in business and the best products available, we have the experience and the know-how to get the job done right.
Foundation problem? Visit fixmyfoundation.com. Mount Valley Foundation Services. Rock solid foundations.
Boy, that coming back from a break on that music will wake you up. Nothing like a little Huey Lewis in the news. All right. First caller, call in. If you want to get these two tickets to the Fly Fishing Film Tour, they're yours. The number, 235-9405. They are courtesy of Low Country Fly Shop, which is a sponsor of this show. It'd be a great evening. They're, all the videos and that sort of thing you can watch. The other fly fishermen you get to know. And there's always a lot of networking going on at these things. Different people will say, hey, I like to do this. I like to do that. Okay. Well, I'll go fishing with you in the mountains and then I'll take you down to the coast and we'll trade off a trip or whatever. There's some great friendships that start at some of these things. So I see we have a call on the line. Dave is getting his information. So I'm sorry for the rest of you. If this guy's the first one, then the tickets are gone. I guess we'll give him a couple minutes to come on. Going back to the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, they had one of those Razors. It's R-A-Z-E-R. It's like a really souped up four-wheeler. That thing was, that thing was nice. I think those things will probably go 60 or 70 miles an hour. That's one of those things that's, you can't classify that as a tool. I mean, a lot of these things like a tractor. Oh, honey, I need a new tractor for this, or the hunt club needs this, or I need a new four wheeler to go. But that Razor, that thing is just a toy. I think it looked like it would be really fun to take that thing out and run it around a little bit. The camps, the programs, the kids hands-on things, they do have the bass tank there. I don't think I've ever seen somebody catch one of those fish. Those fish have probably seen every lure there is. But maybe one of these days somebody will see it. Okay, I've got Steve from Simpsonville on the line. He is the winner of the two tickets. And if Dave will put him on, we'll talk to Steve for just a second here.
Okay.
Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you today?
Doing wonderful. And yourself?
Good. my voice is starting to crack up a little bit. But I'm doing great. Do you fly fish at all?
A little bit, but my specialty is restoring and refurbishing bamboo fly rods from the 1940s and 50s, American style.
Oh, I need to meet you.
I've got quite a collection.
I need to meet you. Well, great. Well, have you ever been to the Fly Fishing Film Tour before?
No.
You're in for a treat, my friend. Did you go watch some of the trailers at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
They are, the videography will just blow you away. You will love it to death. And I really do need to meet you. I'll be there. Look for me.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to you. I guess I've come in on the technology side of fly fishing. My grandfather gave me a couple of old fiberglass rods at one time.
Nice.
and but I lost one of them in the pond. When we drained the pond in Chester, I'm going to fly to find that fly rod again. I got one hanging up, but I've always wanted a bamboo rod. I don't care if it's fishable or not, but I just think having one in my office would just be cool. Anyway, congratulations. I will leave those tickets here at the station for you. You can pick them up anytime you want to during their office hours.
Okay, great.
And I appreciate you listening, Steve. Have a good afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And we also have Tom in Greenville has a question about the National Archery and School Program. You there, Tom?
How are you?
Yes, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
Good.
Actually, I just wanted to give a shout-out because my daughter is in that program.
Is she really? And your daughter is?
Her name is Kenzie.
Okay.
And she's in the junior high school team. They didn't make the state this time.
Okay.
It came close, but not quite, but they'll make it next year.
Now, is she a member of the Canes archery team?
She is, yes.
Okay, okay. Well.
And Colleen and Patrick have done a fantastic job. We really love them. They're a really great couple to run that program.
They really seem to be. I've met them at the one shoot there at the gym where y'all have your contest or whatever. And then I talked to them a little bit down in Columbia yesterday, and they really seem to have the kids' best interest at heart and want them to do well in this whole thing. They're not doing this for their glory or benefit or whatever. They're doing it for the kids. That's the real impression I get.
It's very apparent that they love the kids and the kids love them back.
Well, that's great.
We're very appreciative of everything they've done. I hope Colleen's probably listening, and we really enjoy what they've done with the team, and very pleased. My daughter really enjoyed it.
Now,
bunch of kids.
How old is your daughter now?
She's 12.
She's 12. Okay. Well, she will still be middle school next year.
Yes.
Okay. Well, my daughter will be there this time. Well, she's 10 now, so she'll be there shooting with. So I'm sure I'll run into you there at the practices and the tournaments next year.
Great. Terrific. We'd be glad to have you with us.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Enjoying the show.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye.
Goodbye. Wow. Two calls back to back. That's pretty good. I enjoy calls. I like to talk to people. It sure makes this more fun, more enjoyable. The interaction is great, and I really appreciate everybody listening. I know Colleen is listening. I talked to her on the phone just a few minutes before I came on the air. Unfortunately, her voice was gone. And you can imagine after 2 days of this and the celebrations yesterday and all that, she sounded pretty tired and worn out. Her voice was cracking a lot, but she was really happy with the outcome yesterday, as she should be. Like I said, they had three years, I think, over in Spartanburg with this program when they came to Greenville. Did not have one, saw a need for one, and took it upon themselves to get that program up and going. And for a first-year program, they have done an excellent job. Excellent job. So, like he said, just really appreciate people that take the initiative, see the need, and want to help those kids out. And I'll be there next year. I'm looking forward to it. And we appreciate the call. Getting back to Pickman-Robertson in the last little bit we have here, back in the late 30s, you wouldn't believe it in the United States, but a lot of species had been what hunters call hunted out, fished out, habitat loss. And sportsmen saw the need to regulate hunting, to support hunting. And so they, at that time, this was 1937, they got Senator Key Pittman from Nevada and Congressman A. Willis Robertson of Virginia to sponsor a bill called the Federal Aid and Wildlife Restoration Act. And we know it by Pittman Robertson. It went through and was signed by FDR on September the 2nd, 1937. At first, the tax was 10%, raised to 11% a few years later. The money collected by the government, put into a special trust fund, and then once a year distributed back to the states based on, like I said before, probably something akin to the IRS code and loosely based on license sales. The funds are designated. They're used at that time and continuing to this day. They're to be used for habitat restoration. reintroduction and maintenance of game populations, and hunter education. At one time, and in all the research I could find, I could not find a year, there was a bill. Evidently, this money was piling up over the year, and there was a move to refund the money and to do away with the program. But it was defeated, overwhelmingly defeated, with the support of sportsmen. We saw the need to keep this money in place. Yes, so when we go out deer hunting, we see deer. So when we go duck hunting, we see ducks. And when we go turkey hunting, we see turkeys. But the trickle-down effect to everybody else and all the other animals out there, it's immeasurable. Right here in South Carolina, you know, when I was growing up, there were no deer. Deer didn't really show up until the 70s after Department of Natural Resources, using Pittman Robertson money, restocked deer in the Sumter National Forest. Turkeys. Do you remember when turkeys, if you turkey hunted, when there practically were no turkeys? And then back in the late 70s and 80s, the big wood duck restoration, you know, everybody was making cypress wood duck boxes because the wood duck population had gotten so low. And we took it upon ourselves, made those boxes, made those predator guards. I got cut quite a few times on that sheet metal, making those predator guards. But that was using money from Pittman Robertson. I talked to Brett Witt, and I have to say this. I meant to say this earlier. Department of Natural Resources is now a sponsor of Woods and Water South Carolina. I had a meeting several weeks ago with Captain Robert McCullough. Then I had a meeting with Brett Witt. And yesterday we finalized all of it, and they are now a sponsor of Woods and Water South Carolina. I look forward to having a lot of input from them. Their programs during the summertime, boating, hunting, having biologists on the air with me. And when it comes to the outdoors, what better source do you want than the Department of Natural Resources that oversees the outdoors practically? So I want to welcome them in. But I was talking with Brett yesterday, and he said, you know, without the Pittman Robertson money, you would not have seen whitetails, turkeys, and wood ducks come back as quick as they did. But with that money, that's money, that's cash money they can spend. They don't have to appropriate that money. It comes in, checking account, they write the check, and you have reintroduction. In the 1970s, that tax was expanded to include handguns, archery equipment, and there is a list. Oh, rifles, shotguns, handguns, ammunition, parts, reloading supplies, bows, arrows, sights, rests, quivers, all of that has this tax on it. And that tax supports, it's estimated that there are $3 million in Pittman Robertson money collected every day. There was $1.1 billion distributed. And if my math is right, that works out to pretty close to that estimate of $3 million. It ran into a little bit of problem in 2000. Don Young in Alaska introduced the Wildlife and Sport Fish Restoration Programs Improvement Act, and it specifically redefined how the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service could spend that money. Two examples, right here in our backyard, Belfast Wildlife Management Area in Newberry and the William Thomason Range in Spartanburg. Both of those ranges were built partly using Pittman Robertson money. And I'm sure some of you out here have used both of those. I didn't have time to get involved with Brett and those about the other ranges, but I'm sure that money is meant for hunter education. That money goes to help build those rifle ranges that are open to everyone that wants to go shoot. And the flip side of the Pittman Robertson Act was the Sport Fish Restoration Act, or Dingell Johnson. Senator Edwin Johnson of Colorado and Congressman John Dingell of Michigan, they modeled it after Pittman Robertson, but to benefit sport fishing industry. It was signed August 9th, 1950. It imposed an excise tax on sport fishing equipment. I lost my place here. It essentially does the same in fisheries as Pittman Robertson does for wildlife. The tax is levied on rods, reels, fly fishing, lures, hooks, artificial lures, bobbers, tackle boxes, nets, John Fuss. Thank you. The cuts on my hand from shad fishing a couple of weeks ago are healing nicely, but go buy a net for the boat. If you listened last week, you heard that. He wasn't listening last week, maybe because it's raining in Charleston, he's listening today. Fighting chairs on boats and even trolling outriggers all carry this tax. South Carolina uses those funds for the artificial reefs, and the Educational Vessel Discovery. And I went on and looked. Discovery is a really cool boat. It is a 45-foot catamaran. It's based down at the coast, and they take kids out on it. But I was looking, and they have a professional development teacher workshop area, and it's free to teachers. If you're a teacher out there and you want to go down and experience some of the workshops they conduct from that boat, the salt marsh steam, the seats to shoreline, discovery cruises, and the field experiences, it's money well spent. Well, there's the music. That means this hour is over. I've enjoyed it. I hope you'll get out, find some time to go to Columbia tomorrow, or get out this week. The weather's supposed to be wonderful. Be careful. Get out there, and don't forget the camera. See you next week.